from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Nightcap here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you for the next hour or so. Hoping a trade was going to break before I got on air. Now hopefully it breaks when I'm on air, or just at some point. At some point, I want DeAndre Hopkins to be a Buffalo Bill. That's all I want now. Christmas can come early. This is all I want. This is all I want. Family and friends have always asked me, what do you want? I'm a very, very difficult gift to be given, because I'm not very needy. This is all I want right here. I just want DeAndre Hopkins to be a Buffalo Bill. In case you are just now kind of hearing about all of these rumors, no, the Bills have not traded for DeAndre Hopkins. No, it is not an Aaron Rodgers Jets situation that is basically a done deal, but not a done deal. It is just reports from multiple sources, though. Aaron Wilson, who still covers the Houston Texans, some stuff on the Pat McAfee show with Pac-Man Jones. I don't really know how much to take that one, but some people seem to be taking that one pretty seriously. But again, on the Pat McAfee show, and even from last night, there were some reports as well coming out that the Bills do seem to be a very, very serious contender to potentially land DeAndre Hopkins in a trade. And that's the thing, is it would be a trade. It's not a free agent acquisition. This is not like Von Miller from last year. The Bills would have to fork over, I would imagine, at least probably a pick, maybe a player, to get this deal done. But I want it done so bad. I put on Twitter, I asked people, you know, like, how do you feel this free agency has gone, or really the offseason has gone for the Bills so far? For me, out of 10, I gave it a 7. The linebacking core, I'm concerned, because we saw without Tremaine Edmonds last year, the Bills' defense did suffer. But I like to think that the Bills do have a plan there. Maybe Terrell Bernard, who they drafted in the third round last year, maybe a first-round pick this year. We'll see. I doubt Matt Milano gets moved to middle linebacker, but we will see. But outside of that, I've loved what the Bills have done this offseason, especially with such a limited budget, or at least an expected limited budget. They've been able to rework deals. They brought back Jordan Poyer. They brought in a number of players who are good depth pieces, or just better versions of players they did have, i.e., you know, Deonte Hardy for Isaiah McKenzie. It's essentially a 1-1, just Hardy's considered a better player by most than McKenzie, who they let go. He's now on the Colts. But to me, Hopkins, And like, now this is all I want to talk about for like the next like week or so, or until it happens. Number one for me, DeAndre Hopkins, just flat out, yes, he is 30 years old. He will be turning 31 in June. So the age thing I can understand. Like, if you're just very much against getting a receiver that's that old, I'm not going to fight you on it, because I can understand that. my thing and why I want to beat this drum as hard as I can and be maybe even the signal caller to this is that this draft class, at least to me, is not very good at the wide receiver position. Just flat out, it's not very good. Even on the higher end, there is no Chase, there is no Jefferson, there is no Marvin Harrison Jr. like next year. There is just the class you have. And there are some that are considered first-round picks. And even then, they're all kind of like first-round picks with an asterisk, where it's like, they could go there, but we're really not sure. Chris DiPasso comes on the afternoon show with Mike Schopen and Bulldog every Wednesday at 5, and he kind of brought up that he has about 4 or 5 going. And I've heard that be a number for a lot of people, but for the most part, a lot of what I'm hearing is that while 4 or 5 may go in the first round, there's really only 2 or 3 guys that are really considered first-round picks, that being Zay Flowers, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Jordan Addison. After that, it's very questionable. And a lot of these guys have glaring weaknesses. And if you're the Bills right now, I don't know if any of these rookie wide receivers that you could get at 27 or 28, however we're calling it, are going to do enough to get you over the hump. I just don't think any of them are. And I'd even put in guys like Addison, Flowers, or Njigba. I just don't know if they, as rookies, could get you over the hump. But a 31-year-old DeAndre Hopkins, who has never relied on being more physically gifted than anyone else. Hopkins, I believe, ran a 4.6 40 when he was coming out of school at Clemson, and he was still considered one of the best receivers of his class because he was a great route runner, was always open, and basically doesn't drop passes. And you look last year, only played in 9 games because he was dealing with the suspension. 9 games, he had 96 targets, 64 catches, just over 700 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Yeah, I'll take that every day of the week. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. He could play 14 games, and he probably is over 1,000 yards. And then you add him on an offense that has Diggs, that has Allen as the quarterback, and not an amalgamation of Murray for a little bit, and a shaky offense as a whole, and then Murray tears his ACL, so his last 3 games with someone completely different, and a backup quarterback at that. I'll take that every day of the week and twice on Sunday, and I won't even have to think about it. And if you can add him cheaper than a second-round pick and a player, which was originally reported to be the price tag for Hopkins, and now reports are coming out, such as from the likes of guys like Albert Breer, that the phone lines essentially went dead on that idea for the Cardinals. And now that the price has probably dropped thanks to guys like Brandon Cooks being traded, or even Elijah Moore being traded. If you can make that work for maybe just a 4th-round pick or a 5th-round pick and a player, I am all over that. I'm not saying I'm at the point like the Rams are, where it's, you know, damn the torpedoes, burn it all down. I just want that championship beforehand. I don't want to go that far because I do know, obviously, how long a drought can last. Up until I was 19, I never saw a playoff berth for the Bills. But because the Bills do not have a Super Bowl, because it is still something they're chasing, and because you have the hardest part already figured out, that being the quarterback, I am all in getting after it. Heard from Tyler Dunn yesterday with Schopen the Bulldog, kind of talking about a change in philosophy that has to be done in both the front office and with the head coaching staff, or with the coaching staff, excuse me. That they have to be unafraid to kind of risk it. A move for DeAndre Hopkins would do that. I was talking with a few of my friends today, too. Just, you know, kind of discussing the rumors. Do we think it's going to happen? You know, are we excited? Do we want it? The whole thing. And the big takeaway, too, for a lot of us was, you know, what does this kind of show, not even just the rest of the NFL world, but how do people start talking about the Bills again? A lot of the season, about midway to the end, was a big sort of like letdown. You know, the Bills came in as huge Super Bowl favorites. They'd signed Von Miller. They looked like a buzzsaw. And then the second half of the Green Bay game happened. And it felt like every week, even if they were winning games, it was just, man, it just does not feel like their year. And I've gone on record a few times on Sports Talk Saturday covering for Nate Geary. I've said it a few times on this show as well. That If the Bills had won the Super Bowl last year, after everything that had gone on, everything, the travel, DeMar Hamlin, Dawson Knox's brother, and all the injuries, easily there would have been a 30 for 30 on this season. I don't even have to think about it. Absolutely, there would have been a documentary on this season, not just a standard one like they won the Super Bowl, so like here's the look of the season. It would have been, let's go through all the steps and how this team somehow won it all in the end. Don't kid yourself. A lot happened last year. A lot of crazy stuff that is not normal, that most teams will never have to deal with, let alone have to maybe once or twice ever. But the discussion around the Bills did change. It became like, is their window gone? Were they ever that good? Should we have kind of pumped the brakes a little bit on them? There were some calls, not many after the season, of calling for McDermott's job, Bean's job. We've talked a lot about Bean's drafting very recently, about how the last Pro Bowler to be drafted by the Bills on offense was Wyatt Teller, and he's not even on the team, and he didn't even make the Pro Bowl with the team. But if you make a move for Hopkins, if you really push your chips in and go, it's happening, I think a lot of people very quickly in the national media, and I think just fans as a whole, who are maybe more negative on the Bills at this moment, and I can understand why. Believe me, I'm not judging. I can understand why if you're there. I think a trade for Hopkins would flip that for a lot of people into the Bills are back and or they never left. They are still making moves. They're still keeping up with the Joneses of the world. Cincinnati's lost a lot of pieces on their defense. And the way that they're kind of not paying people that were key contributors to them making two AFC championship games in a row, I do wonder how long their actual window is. And along with that, I think for the Bills as well, they are watching the rest of the AFC East going, we have to keep up. It is not just good enough to have a pretty good defense and Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. It is not good enough. It is not even close. I don't want to make it sound like that if they don't make this move, everything's falling apart. I think this move or potential or really even the reports of said move kind of show that the Bills believe they're not done at wide receiver, that they want to add more pieces to this offense, which puts a smile on my face beyond belief. I think even with the fact that they've added on the offensive line again, with David Edwards coming in today on a one-year deal, and they've added, you know, guys like Connor McGovern and stuff like that, and they brought back David Questenberry. You know, they're adding to that offensive line, but I think the fact is, I still think there's a likelihood that they will try to take an offensive lineman in the draft. And now, again, these reports here, it just, to me, is even if they don't land Hopkins, I think they're still going to try to get a little aggressive for a wide receiver, for a weapon on this offense, for something for the offense, whether it be an offensive lineman, whether it be a wide receiver. Tight end, I just don't know about tight end. The Dawson Knox contract has me thinking that that position is probably secure, that they may want to get guy, you know, in the third, fourth, maybe even fifth round, but nothing serious. But the tight end class looks really, really good. And they've seen that having a guy like a Travis Kelce on the Chiefs has allowed the Chiefs to get kind of weird and kind of experimental on their wide receiver core. And to kind of just throw what they want to at it and figure it out, because they have a Hall of Fame talent and truly a game breaker in Kelce. The Bills have that to a lesser extent with Stephon Diggs, and that's no shot at Diggs. It's just Kelce might be the greatest tight end of all time. I would not say Diggs is the greatest receiver of all time. He's just really, really good and an elite receiver. But again, Kelce might be the best tight end ever. And while I want the Bills to make the move for Hopkins, I think what I love the most about it is the idea that the Bills themselves are not done trying to get after the offense, trying to figure out and trying to work out what they want to do on the offense. Because we're still sitting here going, all right, well, Ken Dorsey's got to figure it out. We're still there. We have no idea what the update there is. He hopefully is better in year two, but we'll see as an offensive coordinator if he develops and he grows. The offensive line, I still want more pieces on there. I don't just want depth pieces, but if this is what they go in with, I'm not freaking out. I think the only position I'm truly scared about is probably linebacker, and that's just because Edmonds is gone. But the Hopkins idea just has me buzzing just because of what it could mean if they get him, of course. And I do want to talk about that, of course, but it's more of the idea of they're not done yet. That Deonte Hardy and Sherfield, they're not the only wide receivers they want to go get. They're not the only boosts they want to get on the offense, that they do want to do more. And again, we could, you know, go into Saturday, Sunday, or, you know, even tomorrow and hear that, nope, no deal, or it, you know, those reports were unfounded, you know, whatever it is. But for right now, I'm going to have fun with it. And I want to stay there because the Von Miller pickup was huge. And it's kind of reminding me of how I felt last year when Von Miller was signed. Before that, I wanted Yannick Ngakoue, who is a very good pass rusher, has double-digit sack seasons for a lot of his career. That's who I wanted. And then, boom. Von Miller signs with the Buffalo Bills. Fantastic. I was over the moon. With Hopkins, and where we're at now is in this year, is I'm sitting here going, yeah, I would just love for them to draft a wide receiver in the first or second round. I'm not really like a huge fan of a lot of these guys, but like, you know, I want a young guy. I want somebody who's a little bit faster, maybe a Josh Downs. I've heard some people bring up Cedric Tillman out of Tennessee, Jalen Hyatt, the other Tennessee receiver I've liked, but his 40 time and his lack of press coverage has kind of freaked me out. But, you know, that's where I was at. I was like, okay, like I'm fine with this. And even, you know, the two receivers they added, Hardy and Sherfield, I was like, okay, like more bodies. I just don't want to get back to the old cookie jar that we had in John Brown and Cole Beasley. Nothing against those guys, but both of them were pretty much done. They were out of the NFL, and then the Bills, in a certain sense, kind of came crawling back because they just didn't know what to do. They had run dry, which is something that I talked about last season of you can never run dry in the NFL with your quarterback and with wide receivers. You just cannot have that happen, and we did. And now it feels like fantastic. They might get Hopkins. This would be absolutely better than anything I would have wanted. Because again, at the start of free agency, I would have never have thought Hopkins was a serious get for the Bills. And he may not be. Again, like this is all theoretical. This is all potential. This is all just, you know, little reports of there's interest. But man, what he could add to this offense. Because even though he is 30, turning 31 in June, he is not dropping off. He's dealt with some injuries. He's dealt with some suspensions. So the last 2 years are kind of iffy, but I just brought up last year. 9 games, 64 receptions, just over 700 yards and 3 touchdowns. You add that along with Diggs and Gabe Davis going back to his role that he was very, very good at as the number 3 outside wide receiver for the Bills. That is a headache for every team to deal with. And I don't know how the semantics are going to go about it and like, oh, you know, how the scheme's going to look and all that stuff. I just know Hopkins gets open and Diggs gets open and they get the ball a lot. In the modern NFL, you want to throw it a ton. And if they could really get somebody next to Diggs that really does grab the attention of the opposing defense, that only makes the offense better for everybody. Diggs can run far more just straight up deep routes and be a deep threat again, along with being the team's number one. While Hopkins can be more of a possession guy because he's not a burner. He's never been that guy that's physically imposed on anybody. He just gets open all the time and catches everything. That is how he has dominated. And he's not a short guy, 6'1". But I think for me, maybe, and it's debatably, the biggest potential of getting Hopkins is that he never winds up on the Chiefs or the Bengals. The Bengals I don't think would ever be on him anyways, but mainly the Chiefs. Your goal now should just be to outscore them. You're not really going to stop them. Look at Philadelphia, who had maybe the most talented defense last year. Just, you know, top to bottom talent-wise. And it didn't matter. You still just had to straight up outscore them. The Bills got the closest to that with 13 seconds. And then Cincinnati, when they beat them in the AFC Championship game that year, it took the worst second half Patrick Mahomes has ever played for that to happen. The Bills got the closest.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With 13 seconds, you add in a Hopkins, Trey White, another year healthier, another year removed from his torn ACL will be better. Kyer Elam and Christian Benford showed quite a lot of promise at the cornerback position. They're going to get much more attention and playing time next year. Von Miller hopefully is fully healthy and ready to go. And you add in a Hopkins. I really, really like that roster. And of course, it all comes down to as well as who is their quarterback. I will say that until the day he retires and or starts falling off. When you have Josh Allen, your window is open. But making a move for DeAndre Hopkins shows, number one, you're not going to be the Green Bay Packers of the AFC, where you're just like, no, we're just going to keep building defense and our wunderkind quarterback is just going to kind of figure it out. You get Hopkins and you're saying, no, we are going to keep giving him as much talent as humanly possible to keep that window open as much as humanly possible. Another thing I've seen with some people, though, with Hopkins is his contract. Is his contract, are you able to really absorb it? Realistically, no. I think that's the thing. Realistically, no. But there's been reports as well that he, number one, is willing to renegotiate his deal to obviously then just get more money right away and, you can circumvent the cap because the cap is non-existent. We all know that. We all accept that. But as well, if you trade somebody like Ed Oliver, who has a $10 million cap hit, all of a sudden now it's like, okay, hey, perfect, good. Now you restructure his deal. I know for a lot of fans, Ed Oliver is kind of one of those pieces that they want moved. He's kind of been not underwhelming, just definitely a disappointing first-round pick for the Bills, especially when a lot of the comparisons for him were Aaron Donald light. But then opens up to the draft. It's kind of, I know a lot of people don't want defense, and I don't really either, but you could probably just get the best defensive tackle available. Fill that hole up, you're good, boom, done. And it was something that was a big problem for the Bills last year. Now they can kind of figure that out as well, get better on offense, and everything kind of starts humming along. And that's my thing here, is if you get Hopkins, it feels like we go into next year kind of in the same mindset, a little bit less so, that we did last year. which is we are really, really, really good, if not elite, and we probably should be in the Super Bowl. And that's where I want to be. I never want to go back to that whole – and some people like being in this situation. I can't stand it. And a lot of it comes from my own athletic career. But if you're one of those people, I totally understand. But for me, I just can't. I don't want to be this underdog. I don't want to be the team no one really believes in or anything like that. I don't want being slept on. I don't. I like being the hunted. I like my team talked about. I like my team gawked about. I enjoy having other teams desperately want to be either the Bills or Sabres, whoever I'm following. That's what I want. And if you land Hopkins, it shows the rest of the NFL you're not going away, you never went away, and you're just going to keep moving forward. You're just pushing everyone out of the way. Get out of the way. Because while teams like Jacksonville are still going to try to kind of get a year older and kind of get under their feet and see how the AFC South really is, the Bills can just keep moving along. They can keep taking out the Jets. Miami, I hope that's a rivalry now. I really do. I want close games. I want that rivalry here. It was so much fun last year, like the stress of the Dolphins games and getting, you know, into arguments with Dolphins fans online. Like, that was so much fun for me. I hope that's a thing again this year. And Hopkins, you can all of a sudden, you know, like, who has the better wide receiver core? I think there's an honest conversation there as well. But it would signal to those teams that you're not just going to go away, that it wasn't just a few years that you're the clear front runner of the AFC East. That, look, you're going to have to maybe get a better quarterback. You're going to have hope that a huge injury takes out Josh Allen or, you know, something along those lines to pass us because you're not doing it now. That's how I want this team to be run. I don't want fear in the front office or the coaching staff because the NFL these days is not built on fear. It is about who is willing to blink first. Who is willing to make the biggest moves? That's who wins. The Chiefs, in part, kind of won last year because they were willing to deal Tyreek Hill to bring in some cap space and to reload their roster. They, again, have the hardest part dealt with. They have the superstar quarterback. And whenever you play them on offense, you pretty much know, oh, well, they're probably going to go for it on fourth down. They take so many risks, but they have the talent to do it. And the Bills have those moments of taking risks and hitting home runs. Look at the Diggs trade. But I want to get back to that feeling. Von Miller really wasn't a risk. Yeah, you sound to a big deal, but it's a lot of it is front loaded and you can get out of it. It wasn't really a risk. Great personality, great human being, the whole thing. Hopkins at 30 years old might be a bit of a risk. And you have to trade for him. But you know what? Do it. Make the move to be better. Make the move to signal to everybody, we're not dead yet. That last year was an anomaly. We went through hell. Now see what happens if we just go through an average NFL year. That is what I want to see. That is how I want this Bills team to operate, is with little to no fear. Personally, for me, I don't know how a lot of you guys feel about this, but for me, I feel like both McDermott and Bean have worked up enough goodwill with both the fans and ownership that they can take a few risks. They can take a few swings and miss. But if they keep going to the well of, we'll just build up the defense, we'll put a lot of high-end talent in there, and then just hope the offense holds on, that goodwill will die. It will go away quickly. But if you go get somebody like Hopkins, and like you've done with this whole offseason, really focus on the offense, then I'm okay if you draft a defensive player. Because it at least shows to me you care about both units. You know where the NFL is going. I don't know if a deal's going to happen for DeAndre Hopkins. But at least to me, at least if there's some truth here, then that means the Bills are willing to get a little nasty. They're willing to get a little aggressive out there. And that's what I want to see from my franchise. That's what I want to see from the team that I root for. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to keep going with the DeAndre Hopkins stuff and the NFL news, especially this Lamar Jackson situation. It's just getting so weird, and I'm kind of loving everything about it. We'll do that when we come back. You're listening to The Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to The Nightcap here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you. Talked a little bit about DeAndre Hopkins. A little bit. We talked the entire segment about DeAndre Hopkins in our last segment. I'm over the moon at the potential of the Bills trading for him. I'm all about it. He has still got a lot left in the tank, and I think he would do wonders for the Bills offense, along with just not being on the Chiefs would be a huge bonus to the Bills. But I want to spend a little bit of time talking about Lamar Jackson and this whole situation that's going on in like the last hour, which if you don't know, I'll read Adam Schefter's tweet here, and it just says, you know, NFL sent a memo to all the clubs letting them know that the NFL Players Association informed the league that a person by the name of Ken Francis, who is not an NFL Players Association certified agent, may be contacting teams and attempting to persuade team personnel to enter negotiations with Lamar Jackson. And it did say that teams are prohibited from negotiating offer sheets or potential trades with individuals not certified by the NFLPA. Any team can be fined over $54,000, which is the fine amount for 2023. And then, like, Tom Pelissero, also of NFL Network, was talking about how apparently this guy was trying to negotiate for Lamar Jackson, and Lamar kind of just like came out and was like, that's a lie, that never happened. And then he tweeted out a video of like him and his partner Ken. I think it's all kind of a joke, but they're dropping this like gym thing or whatever, and you know, this summer. And I just don't know what's going on. I just don't know what's going on with Lamar Jackson. I think it's funny. I think he's having a good time. But it is, for me at least, like all the drama and the rumors surrounding it and everything that's going on, I do get nervous that for some people, and I think even me included, do we get to a certain point where it's like, all right, enough. Like, just hire an agent, just sign a deal. I don't know. I'm not there yet. But I think there's a really good potential that I do get there soon. Because I've mentioned on the show, I've tweeted it, the whole thing is like, you know, where it lost me, or where Aaron Rodgers lost me, was not that he got into, you know, weird psychedelics or was taking these like weird trips. I could care less about that. Do whatever you think is best for your body. I don't really care. For me, it was just more the constant, I don't actually want attention. I don't know why anyone cares. And then does weird stuff that people will want to talk about because, you know, you're a Hall of Fame, you know, caliber quarterback that is just off, like in the Amazon, doing the craziest things humanly possible. That's where he lost me. It was just the constant, I don't know why everyone cares so much, like, I'm too cool for school kind of act, which, like, we all know, you're a loser when you do that. That's what you are. When you're constantly, like, trying to get, like, this gratification of attention, but then go, oh, I can't believe anyone wanted to talk about that. I'm just, you know, I don't understand it. You're a loser. No one likes you, and everyone picks on you behind your back. That's what you are when that happens. And that's where Aaron Rodgers lost me. Now, luckily, I don't think Lamar Jackson is doing this. I think he is just kind of knows that the NFL owners right now are you know, and I don't know, I'm just kind of going off of how I feel, are colluding because he wants a guaranteed contract. Fully guaranteed contract. And the NFL just does not do that. Deshaun Watson, though, got it from the Cleveland Browns. And that was a whole thing anyways. But I think that's really, really the kind of the basis here is that he wants to use Deshaun Watson's contract as the baseline. And the rest of the NFL really, really doesn't. But the thing that has always kind of, I don't want to say rubbed me the wrong way with the Lamar Jackson situation, but has definitely left me at a pause and kind of just waiting at bated breath of like how this is going to go, is the fact that he does not have an agent. For me at least, I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily want to, you know, hear how my employer thinks I'm like the worst at a certain thing just so I take less money. That's kind of what is happening with pro contracts. Teams may love you. They may adore the ground you walk on, but they're never going to want to pay you every single thing. They're never going to want to pay you exactly what you want most times. So when an agent goes in to negotiate with you, teams will often kind of share your worst light to bring the price down. Lamar is being represented by his mother. And in turn, he's kind of representing himself as well. So I can only imagine a lot of these meetings are them going, hey, look, Lamar, like, you don't do this well. You haven't done this since then. Like, you're hearing an employer that I think wants to keep you, but they're telling you all the things you do poorly at so that they cannot, or in their eyes, don't have to give you a fully guaranteed contract. That is never a good way to maintain a healthy relationship, ever. And yet here we are. I think for a lot of us at the beginning of the offseason, it did feel like, yeah, he's probably not going to be a Baltimore Raven anymore. That's kind of how it felt. Now it feels like a foregone conclusion, except most of the NFL seemingly is like waiting to negotiate with him or seeing like what's going to happen next. It's such a weird, weird place we're in with this whole thing. I think Lamar Jackson is great. But I absolutely understand where people are like, yeah, but he hasn't won an MVP since 2019. Because it is something to bring up. Not that he just hasn't won an MVP since 2019. We're not sitting here going, he should win one every single year. It's more or less the fact of he hasn't even had a season close to 2019 since then. He's won a playoff game, yes, but most of his worst performances have come in the playoffs. I don't even think he's had an iconic playoff game. Maybe a play, that run against Tennessee, but never really an iconic game where it's just like, yeah, even in a loss, you were amazing. Josh Allen with 13 seconds, and even then, before, the week before, he had one of the greatest performances ever by a quarterback. Offensively, they were perfect. He's in a weird spot where I think he's absolutely worth the money, but even I would have a tough time going fully guaranteed. And I love Lamar Jackson. I think the Baltimore Ravens, for the most part, have kind of done him dirty by who they actually are acquiring. The fact that Baltimore is not somehow involved in the DeAndre Hopkins trade discussions kind of tells you everything. I mean, that's who they are. Every big-name wide receiver that comes available, that hey, they would be perfect with Lamar. The Baltimore Ravens are not interested. Of course they're not. Why would they be? Oh, silly me. I forgot. They don't want to ever do that. But this whole thing is just, I don't know where I sit with it. I'm having a really tough time. Because a lot of it for me is that how he is amazing. He is great. And you can still be right in the sense that he has not had a season like 2019 since 2019. That we are still kind of waiting for the encore to the MVP. And we may never get it. I'm not saying he's going to retire. Far from that. But it might be one of those situations. I've brought up that Cam Newton and Matt Ryan's MVP years are very much anomalies for the rest of their career. Maybe Lamar Jackson's the latest guy in that list. That you look at the rest of their career and go, yeah, they were really good. They were a lot of fun to watch. But that one year was definitely weird, right? Cam Newton in 2015, Matt Ryan in 2017. Cam Newton never had a year close to 2015, before or after. Matt Ryan in 2017 went from he's a pretty darn good quarterback. Not bad, but like, can you win a Super Bowl with him? To, oh, okay, all right, they're the worst collapse in Super Bowl history away from winning their team's first Super Bowl. Maybe you can equate that to Kyle Shanahan being offensive coordinator. I know I definitely put a lot of stock into it. And with Cam, I just more put into the stock that it was just a perfect year for him. They had a great defense, and just it seemingly everything was working. No one knew how to defend him, and he just everything was working. And as a guy that was very much an inconsistent passer for all of his career, Newton seemed to be on fire every single game that year. Maybe Lamar is just the newest iteration of that list, of that run, which would make sense. It's, you know, every two or three years, there's going to be an MVP, I guess, now where you're like, how did that happen? Maybe that's Lamar. I hope it's not. Even though he's an AFC rival, I went to that Baltimore game when Buffalo went to Baltimore. I had a blast. The score wasn't high, but just each drive in that second half, first half for Baltimore, second half for Buffalo, each drive just watching the quarterbacks on each team just make magic and be clearly the best two players on the field. It didn't matter about position. They were the best two players on the field. I still do believe in Lamar Jackson. I still think he is very, very good, if not elite. But as the years go by from 2019, you are seeing more quarterbacks very clearly pass him. Burrow, Allen, and Mahomes are their own tiers. Mahomes, I think, is above those two. But Lawrence is coming. Herbert, we're still kind of waiting on his arrival, but his physical traits will kind of keep him in that conversation. Obviously with Lamar. But then what happens if Justin Fields pops off in the NFC? He's got DJ Moore. They've got a ton of draft capital. They've really added to their roster. I think they've really helped out their offensive line. They're probably going to draft one very, very high in the first round. What if he pops off next year and it kind of becomes that third-year jump that we're seeing lately now as well? Not just second-year, but third-year jumps. And then Jalen Hurts. made it to a Super Bowl in his first, you know, real year where they put all of their trust into him and they just let him ride. He makes it to the Super Bowl. Where does that leave Lamar? It's an interesting conversation to have. I think where you're at with him is very, very interesting. I think he should be signed. But that fully guaranteed contract, I can understand why it is absolutely not something that teams are jumping at. Absolutely, I can understand that. But I still think the Ravens should keep him. And I think they should change their mindset on how they're willing to help him and how they're willing to do everything. We're going to take a quick time out. We'll wrap up the show when we come back. You'll listen to the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you as we wrap up the show here on a Thursday night. Not a great day today. I mean, like, heat-wise, it's not freezing. Not a big fan of rain either. Especially, I got new shoes and they're white. And you, like, look outside and you're like, well, I'm not going to wear them today. I'm going to ruin them, like, immediately. And I just spent, you know, well over $100 on them. I'm not doing that. I already don't like spending $100 on shoes, let alone like getting them dirty 3 weeks after buying them. That just seems foolish. Spring for me cannot be an elite season for that reason alone. It's so muddy. Everything gets dirty. We go from in Buffalo, you know, salt all over and snow and ice all over our cars to just mud on our cars. Like that, come on. To me, summer and fall, they're the elite seasons. After that, you know, spring and winter, go away. No one likes you and you're ridiculous. Spring here can't decide if it's warm or cold anymore. I can't get behind it. What I can get behind, though, the Sweet 16 for the NCAA tournament is going on currently. If you want to listen to that after this show, of course, you can listen to all the games tonight over at our sister station, the Bet 1520. But tonight we do have four games. Obviously, as we get, you know, closer to the end of the tournament, the number of games goes down, which is always kind of disappointing a little bit to me. I do love those Thursday Fridays when it's just game after game after game after game, you know, from 12 to 10 o'clock at night. It's a lot of fun for me. I love it. Tonight, though, we do have Michigan State and Kansas State. That's currently going on. It's in the second half. And right now, Kansas State is leading Michigan State 47-41. I really do like the Wildcats here. Obviously, they've got a very, very short point guard in Marcus Nowell. And, you know, John Calipari, the head coach of Kentucky, kind of like said, I think something mean to him or mean about him that he's a little guy. I ended up like calling to apologize him. But him, he's 5'8", but he could not care less. The man just scores buckets. He's a blast to watch. And then the other game going on currently right now in the first half is UConn and Arkansas. And it's not a game. UConn is dominating Arkansas currently. Just UConn, when they are on, they are absolutely just annihilating teams. They were at one point a top three team in the nation just because when they are at their best, they are very, very few teams that can beat them. But they just so rarely this year played at their best. But now they're doing it at the right time. They are a dangerous team that could potentially wind up in the Final Four, and they're just taking it to Arkansas right now, 34-19, with about 7 minutes left in the first half. And then later tonight, starting at 9 and 9:45, respectively, at 9, Florida Atlantic and Tennessee. Florida Atlantic's a blast, too. Just a good story. A lot of underclassmen at a Conference USA school in Florida Atlantic. Dusty May, his fifth year at that program, and they 33 wins up to this point already. They got in the top 25 the first time ever for the program. And this is also the first time this program has even been in the NCAA tournament and winning games. I mean, they look really, really good. I like them against Tennessee. They had a bit of a rough go against FDU, Fairleigh Dickinson University. But, you know, I think that team was really just going off the high of we just beat a one seed. Let's get after it. And Florida Atlantic just had to survive, play smart, and just get through it. And they did. And I like them potentially against Tennessee. And then later tonight, 9:45, Gonzaga and UCLA. It seems like every time these two teams play each other, it is a barn burner of a game. Mick Cronin and Mark Few, just two very, very good coaches. Mark Few's been at Gonzaga for, I think, 24 years. I think my entire life. And then Mick Cronin got to UCLA after coaching at Cincinnati for a number of years, and he has done wonders for that program. Really has brought them back from just being a middling Pac-12 team to really being the face of the conference with, you know, them and Arizona respectively. But I will say, every time I see Gonzaga UCLA play a game, I just sit here and go, why is Gonzaga not in the Pac-12, at least for basketball? Like, can someone tell me why? You know, a conference that has not really had a premier program in quite a while. I don't even think they've had a national champion in over 20 years. And yet, Gonzaga sitting right there, and I'm like, oh, give them the resources. That's a brand name. It's a known name now. Gonzaga can get out of the West Coast Conference. They can kind of let, you know, teams like St. Mary's and San Francisco kind of figure themselves out and get better over there. But, you know, immediately they make that conference more marketable in basketball. And you have built-in rivalries with Washington and now UCLA as well, just because they always play close games. And it's never happens. And I'm just like, ugh, you're just breaking my heart. I wish that could happen. And then, of course, tomorrow as well, as we round out the Sweet 16, tomorrow starting at 6:30, San Diego State and Alabama, 7:15, Miami and Houston, 9 o'clock, 15-seeded Princeton against Creighton. Princeton has been a blast to watch. They're that Ivy League school that's just very scrappy. They do all the small things really, really well, and they're very annoying in that sense. But they're doing everything correctly, and they definitely don't look like a 15 seed, even slightly. They do look like more of a lower teen, 13, maybe even a 12 seed. And, you know, yes, they're a 15 seed getting this far. It's tough for me to even look at them like that. And then rounding out the night, Xavier and Texas at 9:45. Both teams are playing great basketball. Texas, though, on their night, is the best team in college basketball to me. Absolutely. The way they shoot the basketball from three can kill teams in a moment's notice. But another thing to watch tonight as we do wrap up the show here, the NCAA men's hockey tournament is going on, and 16-seeded Canisius taking on Minnesota later tonight, ESPN2 at 9 o'clock. That should be a ton of fun, especially Canisius, at least athletics, is starting to get into tournaments across their sports. I believe both men's baseball and, of course, women's softball got in last year. So, you know, Canisius Athletics really putting themselves on the map a little bit here. We'll see how they can do against the number one team in the country. They're the number one seed in the nation in the University of Minnesota. But should be fun. Should be cool to see, especially them going to be on national TV. I know I'll be watching. I'll be up just watching basketball, and I'll throw that on as well. But it should be a ton of fun to see Canisius on national TV. That's going to do it here for the Nightcap. Coming up tomorrow, stay tuned for On Show with the Bulldog, Kevin Adams, Sabres GM, joining the show at 5, and Sabres pregame starting an hour after that at 6 as the Sabres get ready for faceoff with the New Jersey Devils at 7. That's all coming up tomorrow. This has been the Nightcap, and you're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
a third 15 seed getting this far. It's tough for me to even look at them like that. And then rounding out the night, Xavier and Texas at 9:45. Both teams are playing great basketball. Texas, though, on their night is the best team in college basketball to me. Absolutely. The way they shoot the basketball from three can kill teams in a moment's notice. But another thing to watch tonight as we do wrap up the show here, the NCAA men's hockey tournament is going on, and 16-seeded Canisius taking on Minnesota later tonight, ESPN2 at 9 o'clock. That should be a ton of fun, especially Canisius, at least athletics, is starting to get into tournaments across their sports. I believe both men's baseball and, of course, women's softball got in last year. So, you know, Canisius Athletics really putting themselves on the map a little bit here. We'll see how they can do against the number one team in the country, the number one seed in the nation in the University of Minnesota. But should be fun. Should be cool to see, especially them going to be on national TV. I know I'll be watching. I'll be up just watching basketball, and I'll throw that on as well. But it should be a ton of fun to see Canisius on national TV. That's going to do it here for the Nightcap. Coming up tomorrow, stay tuned for On Show with the Bulldog, Kevin Adams, Sabres GM, joining the show at 5, and Sabres pregame starting an hour after that at 6 as the Sabres get ready for faceoff with the New Jersey Devils at 7. That's all coming up tomorrow. This has been the Nightcap, and you're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.